We bring this episode of The Far Middle to you constant listeners on Patriot Day. So I, of course, want to recognize that, never forget. I also want to call out on a more happy note to all those lucky grandparents for a belated happy National Grandparents Day, which was this past Sunday. You know, my four grandparents played a huge role in my upbringing and development, and I am forever grateful that I had the benefit of their wisdom and their mentoring growing up. And I hope you got to experience similar things with your family and grandparents, and that of any of you constant listeners who are grandparents, that you're going to return the favor to that next generation. It's the least you can do. Now, I'm fired up for this episode because I've got a really big update to report on for you. But first, of course, we must kick things off with our sports dedication. We got one this week that's speaking to the benefits of living what I'd call a complete and a unique life. We lost an individual about a month and a half ago who lived an iconic life in the world of sport, but isn't as widely known as that iconic life, and isn't as widely known as his list of accomplishments might warrant. His name was Pat Williams, and let me tell you a little bit about what he achieved during his time on planet Earth. It's really impressive. He grew up in Delaware and was born just prior to World War II, and he wasn't the greatest student, but he loved baseball. He played baseball at Wake Forest when he went to college, and he ended up for a stint in the Philadelphia Phillies farm club system. But he didn't have what it took on the field, yet he was fortunate enough to end up on the business side of that farm team, and he ended up being in charge of various matters such as ticket sales and PR, those types of things. So Pat Williams, you're going to see in many ways, is a more modern version, was a more modern version of the famous, legendary White Sox owner Bill Veeck. And ironically, Williams had the pleasure of meeting Bill Veeck early in his career and gained advice from him and a long-standing relationship with Veeck over the years. And I can tell you it showed with how Pat Williams ran and promoted that minor league Phillies team. He'd hire skydivers to land on the pitcher's mound, and the stunts sometimes, I got to tell you, went awry. They didn't always land on the mound. And he would come up with promotions like egg-tossing contests and limbo dances. He was a precursor with his promotions to what you see today with the wildly popular Savannah Bananas traveling show. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Savannah Bananas, but quite the entertaining outfit, goes way beyond baseball. In fact, baseball is almost a sidebar. Now, he found religion, Pat Williams did, and he took his Christianity seriously, didn't hide it. Then he jumped from the Phillies farm team management in baseball to a business manager slot with the Philadelphia 76ers in basketball. But his zany promotions continued, including wrestling bears for free tickets. I'm not sure if that's worth the tickets, to having the crowd watch a woman eat 78 hot dogs, pizzas, and drink dozens of Cokes live. Ugh, doesn't sound too appetizing. Those eating contests have always sort of disgusted me. Now, the Chicago Bulls in the NBA, they're struggling at the time as a franchise while Pat Williams is at the 76ers. And they saw what this guy was doing with the 76ers to attract fans and grow attendance. And before he reaches the age of 30, he becomes general manager of the Chicago Bulls. And then he went to the Atlanta Hawks in the early 1970s. And when he was with the Hawks, he made the unpopular move of trading their superstar, who was a pry far middle sports dedication subject, Pistol Pete Maravich, traded him in exchange for draft choices. And his crazy promotions continued in Atlanta, which then included pigs jumping through hoops. Now, his career brought him back home to Philly, where he became ultimately the general manager of the 76ers. He kept the pigs in the shows and all those promotions, but he did something a little more important and impactful when he brought in Dr. J, Moses Malone, and others to the team. And the 76ers, of course, won an NBA championship in 1983, and there's nothing like winning championships that will thrill a fan base and bring happiness, even to places like Tough to Please Philadelphia. That success made Williams think even bigger. He wanted to now start his own NBA franchise and landed on Orlando as the place to do it. And that was, constant listeners, how the Orlando Magic became a franchise and how Shaquille O'Neal ended up in Central Florida in the 1990s. Now, Williams had an interesting family dynamic, I will say that. He and his wife adopted children, a lot of children. They had 19 children in total, although not all were adopted. And that's a lot of kids, no matter what the breakdown is. And it's an understatement to say that he enjoyed running. Pat Williams ran 58 marathons, over a dozen Boston marathons alone. And it's fair to say that he liked to write. He authored over, get this, 100 books. A lot of motivational and leadership type topics from what I could see. Yeah, there you have it. A unique individual who we recently lost and whose life we should be celebrating. A family man, a person of faith, someone who set personal goals and ends up running an insane number of marathons, an innovative promoter, a visionary, and obviously a prolific writer who desired to share his insight with others. That's a doer. That's an achiever in the truest sense of the words. Episode 173 goes to Pat Williams, and may he rest in peace. Pat Williams, you know, prolific in writing, innovative in approach to sports management. And those two traits of prolific and innovative make a direct connection into our main topic of the episode. The topic I'm fired up about that I mentioned earlier, because it's an innovative way to provide prolific real-time knowledge of items people care about. I'll explain. And I am so excited to discuss this week's topic. There's a big situation that is developing in Pennsylvania that parallels many themes of the far middle through the years that has implications all across the nation. And frankly, I think ultimately will have implications across the world. And I'm talking about a couple of things converging. So it's going to be a mouthful that I'm about to give you. So here goes. I'm talking about the convergence of domestic energy, about natural gas shale development in places like Appalachia, about the true and real benefits those things bring to local communities and global citizens, about the myths and fictions used by either the left or radical environmental movement to vilify domestic energy, and about how a platform can be created to vanquish the lies and elevate the truth via transparency, and about how it can do so with an unimpeachable avalanche of real-time data. I warned you it was going to be a mouthful of convergences. Now, back in episode 132, if you go back to that episode, I told you about the effort CNX Resources stood up in Pennsylvania that we called Radical Transparency. Not sure if you remember that or not. And it was launched back in November of last year in 2023. It was done in collaboration with Governor Shapiro and his team at the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, the PADEP. And the effort, unfortunately, was met with immediate and harsh and nasty criticism and mudslinging and all kinds of hate from the radical environmental community. Yet the rational and objective environmental groups out there, and thank God that they do exist, they supported the effort, as you might expect. Well, we've been super hard at work on the effort since last November when we launched it. And I have some impressive and great and exciting and promising news to report. And you get to hear this direct, and you'll get some insight, at least from my humble perspective, that you're only going to find on the far middle. Because, you know, you constant listeners, you matter big time. And let me get to the punchlines and takeaways first, and then explain each in some detail. First, I'll just say at the start, the initial results, and I'm going to emphasize initial, as we'll get to in a couple of minutes. This is not anywhere close from being ended. This is only going to expand. But the initial results from this first of its kind public-private data monitoring and disclosure collaboration, what's it telling us? Well, it's demonstrating that natural gas development manufactured responsibly, it's safe and opposes no public health risks. It's frankly what we expected to see and for sure what we had hoped to see. But now we've got growing definitive evidence that continues to mount. Secondly, I personally urge the natural gas industry, whether it's in Pennsylvania or Appalachia or the United States, to adopt radical transparency across all natural gas development and processing operations. When this becomes the industry standard, it only gets better. And more is better in this case, constant listeners. More is definitely better. And then third, radical transparency's objective measured data contradicts, it exposes, and it demolishes, frankly, the fictions and the fear-mongering that the radical environmental groups have proffered about natural gas development in places like Pennsylvania. And that vilification applies to those embarrassingly loose statistical associations contained in places like the University of Pittsburgh Health Study that we spoke about in episode 132. The Pitt studies suffer from fundamental limitations in design, and frankly, shortcomings in methods that, coupled with how the findings were presented to the public, just raised anxiety, and it was unwarranted by actual data. It's hard to believe, but those researchers, they never visited a shale gas site. They refused opportunities to do so. They didn't take air or water samples, and they didn't generate any new original data or measurements. Didn't do any of that. So statistical speculation trumped actual measurement, and that pit study, which squandered, by the way, millions in taxpayer dollars, is looking more and more sus, as my 20-somethings at home like to say. And a little background refresh to set this up. The company I work for, CNX Resources, through an agreement with, again, Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania and that State Department of Environmental Protection, established radical transparency to provide a source of factual information and recorded environmental data on the impacts of natural gas shale operations in places like PA and across Appalachia. Now, such data, it's intended to provide that concrete and that objective knowledge that the public seeks regarding the impacts on human health from the natural gas industry and to inform future policy decisions in Pennsylvania and beyond with accurate and real-time data collected by an independent accredited third party. And it's made available simultaneously, not just to CNX and not just to the Pennsylvania DEP, but to the public at large. And this all stems from a serious problem. As I said, unfounded accusations and innuendo, they were driving current popular narratives regarding the potential health impacts of responsible natural gas development. The agendas of those ideologically or financially opposed to progress and development, they pointed to ambiguous, cloudy, suspect statistics, to goal seek, to their desired conclusions. And this results in policy lines being drawn based on speculation and emotion and fear ideology instead of what you'd want policy to be developed off of, which are objective facts and data. So this business as usual state of play, it had to change. And indeed, things are changing. So what have we been measuring and reporting since the launch of radical transparency? We've been monitoring emissions at production pads and midstream stations since, as I said, November of 2023. After the launch of the program, and we started monitoring and providing transparent real-time data to all stakeholders on air quality, waste monitoring, and water quality. To date, over 100,000 data measurements have been collected and reported to the Pennsylvania DEP and also posted on our Radical Transparency website since the inception of the program. Over 100,000 data points. And that tally, better yet, it grows by the hour daily. We're always monitoring and reporting this data, so it just continues to grow in magnitude. And that is awesome for transparency and for knowing. And by the way, our website, if you'd like to take a look at it for yourself, is cnxradicaltransparency.com. So give that website a look and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You might want to even view it while you're listening to this podcast. Now, we now have accumulating data so that we, as in everyone, right, from CNX to the Pennsylvania DEP to citizens, we all can analyze air monitoring data for what it is. And we're all now being able to look at that data, which has been already filtered and subject to quality assurance and quality control protocols. And we can see that for gas well pads comprised of data recording particulate matter measuring less than 2.5 microns in diameter. That's what we typically call or reference as PM 2.5 in the industry. And also continuous recording of air samples for things like benzene and toluene and ethylbenzene and xylene, or what is commonly known as BTEX compounds, which you don't want to see high levels of because those can be cancer causing. And we've compared those PM 2.5 results to data reported by regional air quality monitoring networks maintained by the DEP and by the EPA federally. So you can take a look at how the air quality is looking on pad or at the compressor station and compare that to what the ambient air quality is from these other sources and how that compares to national ambient air quality standards. And we're also able to compare the BTEX results to established health-based standards, such as minimum risk levels, or what they call MRLs, for exposure as appropriate. So you've got different reference points to not just see what the actual measurements have been, but how they compare to what you'd want to see or what you typically see in a local environment or community. But it keeps getting better. That's one of the beauties of radical transparency. So while we're sharing all this real-time air emissions monitoring data and enhanced water quality testing results, and while we're disclosing chemical usage and also publishing waste reporting at well sites and midstream infrastructure, We also committed to expand radical transparency so that ultimately we'll cover all unconventional operations on the natural gas side with respect to CNX. And that is going to provide hundreds of thousands of additional data points across the company's operational footprint. And I mentioned the QAQC that this data go through to make it unimpeachable. And that's important because the air quality data that we're reporting is collected by an independent third party, and it's fed simultaneously to the Pennsylvania DEP, to ourselves at CNX, and to the public in that website. To put that in contrast, right, to what you typically have seen before this, which were disputed results from previous environmental group and industry-funded studies. This is a much superior way. The initial results, the ongoing monitoring from Radical Transparency, again, they tell us that natural gas development done responsibly or the CNX way, it's safe. It's inherently good for the communities where we operate. And that's why I ask our industry peers to join us in these important efforts to ensure that the public policy in Pennsylvania, as I said earlier, it's driven, developed by directly measured data and facts instead of agendas and speculation. Now, our findings, I also mentioned this earlier, they expose the flawed nature of the often cited University of Pittsburgh Health Study and what I consider to be highly suspect results that are used by environmental groups in some instances to spread unchecked disinformation about natural gas development. So again, it's important to emphasize this is only the start. While these are only the initial results and the data collection is continuous, right, and ongoing, we can say definitely that radical transparency is the superior path forward when you're setting public policy. And because of an already robust regulatory framework in Pennsylvania, this unique collaboration with state government and with CNX development practices evolving, we are producing the most responsibly sourced natural gas molecule anywhere in the world. Where? Right here in southwestern Pennsylvania. And better yet, residents, if you live in Pennsylvania or you live close to where natural gas development is occurring, you now have direct in real-time access to measured environmental data from sites, and that's going to render reliance on third-party innuendo obsolete. That's an awesome thing to strive for. Air quality measurements during pad construction, drilling, completions, flowback, production phases of natural gas development, they've all been captured by the effort to date. I get that question a lot. Covers all those areas to date and will continue to in the future. And in addition, we also report the chemicals used in the natural gas production process. And the results through the initial months of the program show, again, emissions from responsible natural gas development. They fall well below science-based air quality standards that are designated to protect the public from negative health effects resulting from something like PM 2.5 and BTECs. So there have been no sustained high levels of any significance of PM 2.5 or BTECs at these sites so far during any phase of development that we've measured to date. That's awesome news, is it not? And there is another important aspect to this radical transparency effort that often gets missed. So I wanted to highlight that. So remember, while other studies, including the Pitt Health study, they've used these loose and highly dubious statistical associations that have been collected miles, literally miles from natural gas operating sites. With radical transparency, you're collecting on-site data, typically within a 500-foot perimeter to the wellbore, which is going to be the most concentrated reading of any air emissions from the site, because emissions, of course, decrease with distance due to dispersion. So you're getting closest to the source, which is going to be the most accurate data, and you're also getting it at its highest concentration because it's closest to the source. And we also agreed to, by the way, supplement the scope of data collected with continuous monitoring by providing the Pennsylvania DEP unprecedented access to air and quality monitoring from construction through the production phase of two future to-be-constructed development sites. We call these our soup-to-nuts sites, and what that's going to do is expand the data set, again, working with the Pennsylvania DEP, to allow for the most in-depth, independent verification of air emissions monitoring across these two sites and across the entire development lifecycle. It's going to be unprecedented. So we're fired up about those two soup-to-nuts sites that are coming forth in the future. Yeah, with over 100,000 on-site measured data points accumulated to date, the true impacts of responsible natural gas development on the local environment, they're becoming clear to all. And initial indications, as I said, they're very promising. But we're just getting started. I cannot say that enough. More needs to be done. Pennsylvanians, Appalachians, they deserve more data and more locations to be included within radical transparency. And how do we define success of this effort? I think you define it by three simple goals. First, radical transparency, it's the accepted standard for the natural gas industry. Simple enough, but vital. Two, residents and communities, they've got direct access to measure data. We already have that with radical transparency that we've incorporated here at CNX, but we need to make that the norm across our regions and communities. And then third, energy policy follows the data from the effort. We achieve those three goals, then the speculation, the innuendo, the guesswork that we have to deal with, they are rendered obsolete. And then further, these results and the consequential doubts that they raise with respect to the Pitt study, they should also raise concern among local medical and environmental sort of stakeholders and groups as to the actual cause of observed health issues within region that have unfortunately wrongly been attributed to the natural gas industry. If it's the health of Pennsylvanians that such groups advocate for in the medical and environmental community, and it's not just about merely opposing the natural gas industry, then it's going to be time for the medical and environmental organizations who focus on these matters to step up and work toward a real solution. And we are certainly willing and interested to collaborate with them in that effort. Yeah, so where this leaves us, any future studies by any entity or organization, it should now reference actual data, not loose statistics that are molded to infer vague associations. I'm proud of our collaboration with Governor Shapiro in helping to ensure that facts, data, impartiality, those things inform public policy decisions in the Commonwealth. Radical transparency has and will continue to benefit all stakeholders, the most important stakeholder being the residents and the environment in which we all live. We're committed to expanding this program across the state, across the region, across the industry to ensure that the vast benefits of the natural gas industry can continue to be realized by all those different groups and interests across Pennsylvania and beyond. So let's close this, radically transparent episode of the Far Middle with a nice connection to our air date of September 11th, which again is Patriots Day. Now, before that tragic day unfolded, something innovative and much happier appeared to Americans on September 11th. In 1977. And it was something that really kicked a movement into high gear, the movement being video gaming. Yes, on September 11th, 1977, 47 years ago, is that what it was? 47 years ago today, the Atari 2600 was released. Are you old enough to know what that is? Did you have one? Were you the first in the neighborhood to get one? And if you were probably very popular, and I'm guessing your house was visited frequently by kids that were your age. I didn't like the Atari 2600. I loved it. We had to wait to get one, and it drove me nuts how long we had to wait, but it was definitely worth it, and I dove in head first, as did every other kid that I knew. And the games, my goodness, you of course had Space Invaders and Pac-Man and Donkey Kong. Those were all awesome. I think those are actually the top three sellers all time for Atari. But those weren't my favorite. My favorite three games, they were Defender, Asteroids, and Adventure. Now, Adventure had all those secret and hidden cookies sort of embedded or coded within it. And I got to tell you, too, I never cared much for a game everybody else loved, which was Frogger. Never got it. But anyway, the system, the Atari 2600, was discontinued in early 1992. But, you know, Atari did its job, at least for me, and beyond just keeping me entertained. The Atari 2600, it opened up the world of computer programming for me. The Atari 2600, that's the reason I wanted to get my hands on a Commodore 64 and start writing my own games, which I actually did, and learn different computer languages. So imagine that, your host being a coder and gamer back in the day. Yeah, in the early 1980s, it didn't take much to be one of those because the technology was so basic. Anyway, I guess that's a pun too. It was so basic, as in computer language, get it? Anyway, thank you, Atari, from a grateful child of the late 1970s and a kid of the early 1980s. You made it much, much more fun. And there you have it, another episode in the books. Until next week, think about, I don't know, your favorite Atari 2600 game and drop me a note as to what that might be on LinkedIn or at the nickdeolius.com email contact. Or maybe I might post something on X with a tweet about what I get as feedback. Who knows? And as always, remember to stay connected to that far middle.